Good evening, and welcome to this year's Missions Conference at Cornerstone Bible Church. Can I ask you to stand with me for Jesus Shall Reign?
Please pray with me. Father God, we worship you because you're the God who initiated the salvation of us all, who brought us to Christ so that we could see our sins and recognize we need a Savior. And Lord, that's what this mission conference is all about, is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I thank you for bringing the missionaries here safely who are going to share tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. May we just be encouraged by their stories and excited to see what you're doing around the world and even locally. We worship you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And those of you online, I'm glad you could join us and just be a part of our missions conference. I'd like to welcome you all to our 2023 missions conference here at Cornerstone Bible Church. Over the next 3 days, we are going to have a taste of what God is doing through the people we support here at Cornerstone Bible Church. You will hear updates from over 10 people over these next 3 days who are missionaries, or they're part of a missions organization, or have been on a short-term missions trip all over the world. Some have been to Greece, some have been to Jamaica, some to India, some to Africa, and several have shared locally the gospel of Jesus Christ. And actually, if you look at our Cornerstone mission and vision here, we have a mission statement that says that we exist to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ at home and abroad. And we have a vision to have this be not only local, but across the world. And we do it with the four F's. Do you guys remember what the four F's, those of you who go here at Cornerstone? The first one is what? Find, fold, feed, and forward. That's right. My hope is that you catch that vision of what we're doing here at Cornerstone. If this is something you've never been a part of, I'm glad you could join us tonight. If this is your 15th missions conference you've been to at Cornerstone, great, we're glad you're here. But my hope is this conference inspires you not only to support these missionaries in these mission organizations, but even compel you to maybe perhaps take a short-term missions trip in the future here at Cornerstone. In fact, that's the theme this year of our missions conference. It's compelled by the love of Christ. That actually comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. And this is what it says. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Paul is actually speaking here to the church in Corinth about sharing the gospel, making disciples, followers of Christ, and he's explaining what moves him forward on his mission as he goes around the world to share the gospel. And he's saying, Jesus showed us how much he loved us by dying on the cross. And through faith in him, we become a part of that adopted family of God. And as such, we basically belong to him. We are not our own. We're bought by a price. And that is the attitude not missionaries should have. It's an attitude that we all should have. So my question to you is, do you let the love of Christ compel how you live every day? Do you let it drive you to share the gospel with people? Do you let it drive you to make disciples? And you don't have to be a pastor or a missionary to do that. You, in the little world that you live in, with the gifts and the talents that you have, that God has given you, can make a difference somewhere that I can't or these missionaries can't. You are a missionary in the church. We are all ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And we hope that this weekend will inspire you to live that out or continue to live that out in the days to come. Amen? Well, this evening we're going to hear from at least four different people. And my request to you all is that you listen, learn, and be inspired not only to support our ministry, missionaries, like I said, here at Cornerstone, but to become a disciple maker locally, to let the love of Christ compel you forward onto the mission field. Now, our first speaker tonight is Jake Prochaska. Jake grew up at Cornerstone. Yeah, woohoo! Yes. Jake grew up at Cornerstone from 2001 to 2017. Then he attended the University of Georgia and graduated with a bachelor's in microbiology. During his time at UGA, Jake served on the mission field. He had 2 summers in the Philippines and 1 summer in Burkina Faso, which actually Jennifer Henson, where are you? Your brother has served there. And there's a little display out there if you want to know more about it. During this time, though, Jake caught the bug, the mission bug. And wanting to continue to prepare for lifelong missions, Jake participated in a year-long missional training program called Launch Global. And after launch, Jake went to Dallas Theological Seminary and received his Master's of Theology in the New Testament. While at DTS, Jake spent 3 years serving the World Evangelism Conference, a week-long student-led missions conference. As he is still hoping to serve Jesus overseas where people have never heard of Christ, Jake is currently working on his international MBA degree at the University of South Carolina. When the Lord opens the door for Jake, he hopes that he's ready to spread the gospel to the different nations in the world, especially the most unreached people places. Will you please give a warm Cornerstone welcome to Jake Prochaska?
Well, good evening, friends, and it truly is an honor to be up here, as many of you shaped me, and I am grateful for that. So I won't cry tonight, or at least I won't do so intentionally. But it is my joy to share with you something that I hope will really start a fire in this church and will start a fire within you for missions, as it has for me. So I really want to look tonight at what is a solid motivation, a solid foundation to get everyone on fire for the Lord, so that just as we were singing about, Jesus' name is spread and his kingdom is spread as it should be to all nations. And I hope that starts here tonight, and I hope that I get to be a little part of that for your journey. So let's start on that. What does it look like to be motivated properly for missions, for the King of Kings? I have the clicker, don't I? Yes, I do. So I want to spend tonight looking at this kind of like building a fire that is going to last for years and years to come. because fires can go out quickly. You can put gasoline on them and they can just go out. But if you take the time to build a solid camp or bonfire and you have those embers burning in there and you have it solid, then that's going to be enjoyed for years to come. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. This is where we're heading. We're going to look at the foundation, that kindling that is necessary to get you motivated for missions. We're going to look at the spark. What does it take to get you really lit for missions and start the flame? What are those deep embers, that deep fuel that's going to be there? And finally, what is the flame? And we're going to build this fire together. And I pray that the Lord uses this for his glory for years to come. So we're going to start tonight on the foundation, that kindling. And it starts with gratitude and joy in the Lord. If you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be going through that a lot tonight, or your phones. I figured you'd be okay with that since it's kind of in the name of the church. I figured you'd be okay with going through the Bible tonight. But first of all, I don't know if you guys can see that. That's a little small print, so I'll read it out loud for you guys. But this is a great quote from C.S. Lewis about what does it look like to have this gratitude and joy. C.S. Lewis says, "But the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment or approval or of the giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praises. Lovers praise their mistresses, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is the appointed consummation." Think about this. When you go and watch a movie that you just love, you can't help but tell someone else about that. It's like, oh, I have to tell you about this scene in this movie. When you enjoy something so much, the natural ending, the fulfillment, is to share that with someone else. That's the foundation, and that is true for us as well. And I think it starts with enjoying what the Lord has done for us. And I want to look at three big words that are true of our story. In the book of Colossians, Paul shares that Jesus, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, that is, the forgiveness of sins. And he goes on to say, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Christ, through him to reconcile all things to himself. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated," think about that, we were formerly alienated, distanced from the Lord, "and hostile in mind by your evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his body through body of flesh through death." So I want us to look at these three words. I'm going to go back to the first part. He has rescued us, he has redeemed us, and he has reconciled us. And so I want us to just really quickly look at our story. What is our story of hope as believers in Christ Jesus and what he has done with us? Here's our story. We know that in Genesis 1, the Lord made us in his image to rule over all creation and to work with him in the garden and to make it flourish and good. And we see that. But then we have this little incident that comes into play, sin. And now we decide to put ourselves under a new master. That's the language that the New Testament uses and Paul uses. You are under sin as a new master. You are slaves to sin formerly, he talks about. We decided to forfeit this union and participation in God's creation and give that up to be under sin. And we move from that to God stepping back into the picture and taking on the likeness of humanity and becoming fully human and taking on sin, nailing it to the cross, as Paul talks about in Colossians, so that we are no longer under that dominion of sin. Let's see if we can keep rolling. Oh, it went too far, sorry. We'll go with that. We're no longer under the lordship of sin, the master of sin. We have been reconciled, redeemed, and rescued to be back under the lordship of Jesus and ruling with him in eternity. You guys have been rescued, redeemed, and if you enjoy that, then that should naturally be something that you want to share with others. And that's one of my favorite lines in the song Man of Sorrows by Hillsong United puts it this way. Now my debt is paid, and it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilt. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So that is our story, and this gets to be our song to the world. Christ's life is my life. Life for my death. Life with God forever, as it was always meant to be. And so we say, come. Come experience life. Life from the dead. Life with God forever, as it was always meant to be. So when we have joy and we see what Christ has done, and we're just enthralled by the goodness of this story, reconciled, redeemed, and we've been rescued out from the dominion of sin, how could we not share and have such gratitude and joy? That's the first part of this fire, is just daily thinking about what the Lord has done for us and being ready to share that with others because we love him so much for what he has done. So we have the kindling down there, and next we got to get a fire going. The spark. The spark is having a compassion for the lost, for understanding what it's like to still be under the master of sin and what that master brings in his wake. Death and separation from God forever. And so Paul talks about this in a very blunt way in Romans chapter 9 when he's opening up. He says, I wish that I were separated from Christ for the sake of those who I love. My fellow Jews, I wish that they would just come to know the Messiah and be found in him. Paul was so passionate about wanting people to know the Lord. And he knew what it was going to be like when they didn't. When that separation, when that chasm is there forever, he felt the weight of that. And we should too. And this is, I've been studying Revelation some recently. And just thinking about that term, the second death and the weight that comes with that. The second death, the eternal chasm that will never be crossed again. And this is huge for a lot of Jesus's parables. When he talks about the rich man and Lazarus, there's this chasm that will never be crossed again. And you think about a lot of what Jesus talks about, people being cast out to the outer darkness. This is a real thing, a definitive chasm that should just break our heart knowing that's not the way it was meant to be in the first place. We were supposed to have this union with Christ forever. Sin has come in and just wrecked and ruined that all. But that doesn't have to be your ending. And so when we have that fire, looking at the dichotomy between those who do know the Lord and don't. I'm going to read this Revelation 21 for you guys. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they can have access to the tree of life and can enter into the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wants to take the water of life free of charge. Everyone has access to this. And so we say, come. Because we don't want you to have to endure that separation, be under the lordship of sin anymore. And I remember Chuck preached on this a while back. I think this was one of your sermons. About how the Lord is not slow and he wants all to come to repentance. We have a job to do. So the spark for our job, what lights that kindling is realizing, man, my friends are lost. They are still under the lordship of sin and that's not the way it's supposed to be. So we're going to get into the mission field and do this. But in order to do it long term, and to have not just this lighter fluid squirted on the flame so it's big, but then dwindles out. We need some fuel. We need something that's going to be on that fire to keep us going for the long run, and that's community. In Acts, we see that those who were just so excited about what the Lord Jesus had just done, beating death and sin and raising back to life, couldn't help but meet together and go out and share together as well. Over and over and over again, they kept doing this with such joy. It's back to the C.S. Lewis quote. They couldn't contain their joy and they had to share it with others. But they did it together. And we see in Luke 10, when Jesus sends out the 70, and they come back and they are so joyful. But he sends them out together to go do the ministry of the kingdom, share the gospel with everyone, and they come back and they are overflowing with joy because they are a community doing this together and doing it strong. And I think this is just natural for us to do. We want to be in community. We're going to find the people who like the things we like. I mean, think about a fitness club. You're going to be a part of that. Or think about what's going on at Asbury Theological Seminary right now. Like, people are hearing about this and saying, oh, I want to go be a part of that. I'm going to go up there. And so when we are so passionate about reaching the lost with the gospel, and we're so grateful for what the Lord has done, and we want to do this for the long run, get in a community. Get plugged in with others who want to do this and say, I want to do this for the long haul as well. And find those bros and sisters who are going to encourage you when you don't want to go out and share. But they said, let's go do this together. Community is the fuel that will keep us going. And sorry, I'm not reading everything on the slides. If you guys want to, you are welcome to keep reading. But community is the fuel that will keep everything going. And I think that the Lord kind of set it up this way. When you look at Ephesians and what Paul talks about, the Lord has given to the church. He's given pastors and shepherds and evangelists and teachers and prophets. Find these people who the Lord has gifted in this way and say, hey, I might not have the gift of evangelism or hospitality, but I want to invite people in. I want to share with them. I see you're doing it well. Can I do it with you? Don't be afraid to put yourself out there and say, can I do it with you? Because being in this group is what can also help spark the flame, but also keep it going for the long run. And the last part, what is the flame of all this put together, is going back to what we looked at in the first place, where we were supposed to be in the garden serving with the Lord. The Lord brought the animals to Adam, and Adam got to name them. They were working together, participating together in work. So we get to do that again with Christ now. We see that in the Great Commission. The flags that we used to put up every year all the way around here. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because I have all authority, therefore you go and make disciples of all nations. And he finishes that by saying, and in this process, when you go, I am with you always. The context of getting to participate with Christ, the King of Kings, the one who has authority over all things, you get to work with in this awesome union, and there is nothing like it. When you see the Lord using you as a vessel to reach someone else, there is nothing like that. It's quite addictive, in fact. G.K. Beale, in his commentary, this thick, don't get it, it's very big. But on the book of Revelation, when the church in Ephesus has lost their first love, I think we've all heard that term before, you've lost your first love, Beale does a great job of explaining what that means. Although they were ever on guard to maintain the purity of the apostolic teaching, the Ephesian Christians were not diligent in witnessing to the same faith in the outside world. This is what is meant when Christ chastises them for having left their first love. The idea is that they no longer express their former zealous love for Jesus by witnessing to him in the world. This is why Christ chooses to introduce himself as he does in verse 1. His statement that he walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands is intended to remind the introverted readers that their primary role in relation to their Lord should be that of a light, of witness to the outside world. When I read this, I was like, oh, wow. Like, you always think of, you lost your first love. Okay, let me love Jesus again. But I never thought about it as they've lost their zeal to testify about the Lord out in the world. And so Jesus talking about, I am in the midst of the lampstands walking amongst you, and I'm going to remove your lampstand. Think about that. He is in their midst. But when he when they are testifying, lo, I am with you. So we're going to finish this up here in just a second. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the farthest parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit, getting to partner with the triune God. Once again, going back to the first part of our story where we were in the garden with him, serving with him, representing his image to all of creation. We get to do that again in participation with the Almighty God in his kingdom work now. So, I'm a little redundant or get ahead of myself. As humanity worked with God in the garden, so now we are invited into a glorious partnership with the Lord in his kingdom program. So, looking at putting all this together, I hope that this is encouraging for you guys to see what are the pieces, not just to say, I went to a missions conference, I'm going to go onto the mission field and squirt that lighter fluid on there and have a big flame, but then have it burn out quickly. What does it look like to have a lasting flame for the Lord, a light amongst a dark world? It looks like having the foundation of gratitude and joy, remembering what he has done for us, rescuing us, redeeming us, reconciling us, and saying, I have to tell you about this because this is available to you as well. It takes the spark of having a heart for the lost, for knowing the end of their story if they continue down the path they're on, but saying, let me help you out. It is the fuel of having a community that's coming together and saying, let's do this together, arm in arm, and let's continue to go in joy after the world. And it's the flame of participating with the triune God as we were always intended to do in the first place. This is one of my favorite quotes that I'd like to conclude with. The Moravian missionaries, when they were ready to sell themselves onto an island so that they could share the gospel with some slaves on the island, they were willing to be slaves so that they could reach this island. As they were leaving, said, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward for his suffering. So let's go. Tristan, I think you're up next.
Okay, I'm not Tristan. maybe Jake wasn't going to cry, although you're close. I think I'm going to have the same problem as well. And hopefully I won't chew up any or very much of Tristan's time. Eric, who is my son, and then Tristan, who is my grandson, both went to Africa at strategic times in their life, and both were changed by that experience. Tristan is our next speaker, and before he actually comes up, I think they're going to do a video, right? So you'll see a video before he actually speaks. But he grew up here at Cornerstone and was saved when he was six. And I'm having to read my notes here, or Peter's notes, in order to be able to get all this right. He started pursuing his faith when he was 19. Does that sound right to you, Tristan? He had been on missions trips and went to the Dominican Republic, to Greece with CBC, Nicaragua, Africa. And Africa was a very different experience because it changed his outlook on the Lord and completely and led to a further change in lifestyle. If I can ad lib here a little bit, the trip that I heard about for Tristan to Africa was a life-changing event, especially in light of the fact that he was in community with young people who he did not know very well before he went, and then before long was contributing heavily to that ministry, and I just enjoyed building some projects there. And mainly what impressed me incredibly was he said, Poppy, which is what all the grandkids call me, you're not going to believe this. He said, we would get together with a small group of people and talk to them. And then a couple of the kids would run off, and then they'd come back with a whole bunch more kids, and we were trying to rest and get ready for the next group, and they'd be coming to find us. We're off praying somewhere, and I thought, gee, that sounds like the New Testament, doesn't it? So people were so excited to talk with these young folks because of the message that they were proclaiming. They were going and getting their friends and bringing it back. So I just thought, when I was talking to him with his dad, and I think Michelle was there, I think, when we were doing a FaceTime, that it was amazing that we were able to do that. But it was such a tremendous gift to be able to participate with him in that on the FaceTime. So Tristan, I appreciate it, and hopefully I'll get out of the way now. But it's an answer to prayer to have sons and grandchildren that are following the Lord consistently. Not only that, but are on fire for it. And it's a privilege for me to be able to do this, Tristan, for you. So let's do the video, and I'll get out of the way and get started.
So before I really dive into that video, I just want to say thank you all for having me here. I grew up in this church, like Poppy said, and this is really just a full circle moment for me to be able to come back here and be on stage, go after Jake, who has just been a leader in my life, even though he probably doesn't know it. And I'm just super thankful for that. But I really would like to draw attention to one of the things that young lady in the video said, and that's that there is a young army of believers who are rising to claim Christianity, the faith, as their own, as a young generation and as a free generation. And I'd like you to know that Asbury is not the first place that we've seen a revival like that. And I happen to know people who were at Asbury, but there's places in Chattanooga, Lee University is the name, Sanford, we've seen worship sets go on several hours past when they were supposed to be due. And Auburn, up at Liberty University in Virginia, these are all people I know. They're people who I spent time in Africa with. And we came back, and it's been so cool to see the Lord actually work here in the States and not just work during the time that we were in Africa. And so that's just been amazing. But I want to tell you a story. I want to share my testimony really quick about a little boy who used to sit right there in the front row next to Brent Taylor. I'm sure many of you know him. And we would draw stick figures on the little pamphlets that they would hand out right there on that table out in the lobby. And we wouldn't pay a single word of attention to anything Pastor Doug was saying. But when the service was over, and our parents would talk for several hours, and we would run over to this side of the room, and there was a lady over there, and I don't know her name. She might be here today. I can barely remember, really. But every single Sunday she had candy, and she would give it to us. And not only would she give us candy, but she would ask us how we were doing. And several times I would have different conversations with her, and she asked questions that just, they penetrated your soul. She knew how to really ask questions that got you to think, and she knew how to convey that she cared. And so I never really forgot her. And I grew up, and we'll fast forward 10 years, and I am 19 now, and I've lived some of my life. I have a little bit of experience. My parents have gone through a divorce. I've experienced what it's like to try really hard at something, and I've realized that a lot of it doesn't really matter. And I think that's a big problem with our generation. They're not necessarily a problem, it could be a solution. But that these devices right here allow us to figure out or experience or get close to experiencing just about anything we want to. So if I wanted to go climb Mount Everest tomorrow, I can look up a video about climbing Mount Everest and I can watch it on my phone. And I can watch that guy's face as he gets to the summit. He goes, man, that was amazing. And then, you know, he's on to the next thing. It didn't fulfill him. It wasn't satisfactory. And so that's kind of where I was. And that actually, the reason I'm sharing my testimony with you is to give you a look into a lot of the different testimonies that I've heard during my time in Africa, and what a lot of the younger people are actually saying. And so I figured out that, you know, there wasn't a lot that fulfilled me, and so I kind of hit a breaking point. I told the Lord, I said, listen, I believe that you're real, but I don't necessarily want to follow you if this is it. If there's not any more, then I'm out. And I said, you know what, if there's more, come find me, just pull me out, and I'll give you all that I've got. And you need to be really careful when you tell the Lord that and you mean it. And so I told him that, and he kind of let 6 months go by, and I was able to go on a lot of trips and a lot of really cool adventures, and I climbed some mountains myself. And by the time you would get to the top, and it'd be awesome, and then by the time you got to the bottom, you were on to the next thing. And so my friends and I would kind of chase that adrenaline rush of going from one thing to the next, and it was really fun, but it wasn't fulfilling. And I was slowly, my mental health was deteriorating, and again, I was just at a point where I was like, you know, this, I'm running out of money. I keep having to do more and more intense things, you know, in order to fulfill that kind of rush. And so I hit that breaking point. And I was in Wilmington on another one of those trips. And I met somebody in a coffee shop. And she was a girl. And she was reading her Bible. And her Bible had more highlights and underlines, and it looked more used than anyone else's I had ever seen. And so I started asking her questions. And, you know, she gave me answers and was super caring. But the thing that really struck me the most is that when she turned around to look at me, she had the same look in her eyes that the lady over there who would give us candy and ask us questions about how, you know, Brent and I were doing had. It was the same. And now I know that to be the Holy Spirit shining out through somebody. But at the time, I didn't. And I just knew that I wanted to know a little bit more about this. And so she shared with me a community that I decided to kind of explore. And that community was Africa Freedom Mission. And they're a missions organization. They do mission trips to Africa, specifically Zambia, Tanzania, Zimbabwe, stuff like that. And so I went and got on an interest call with one of them. And it turns out that the girl had told the person I was getting on the interest call with that I'm a photographer and that I do media and stuff like that. And so I hop on the interest call, and there's this young lady named Grace. She runs photo and video for the company. And she had a meeting to go to like 15 minutes after our call. And so she's kind of rushed, but she's absolutely grilling me, you know, about my faith and really pushing all of the questions. And I'm really having to answer, you know, with everything that I've got, everything that I learned at this church, you know. And so she grills me. And then at the end, she's like, okay, I really like you. You know, I really think you'd be a great fit. So I'm going to go ahead and sign you up for 2 months. And if that sounds great, awesome, you know. And then she ended the call. And I was like, did I just say yes, you know? And I did. I said yes. I don't know why I said yes. I'm pretty sure it was the Lord just like, yeah, we're going to push you along here. And so I said yes. And as I kind of got involved in this group, I discovered that everyone there was filled with the Spirit. Everybody had that look in their eye where they just cared, and you could tell that they loved you. Whether they knew you or not, you could just tell. It was just a kindness that overflowed. And so I went to Africa, and there were a couple of different points before I went that really broke me, and the Lord really, really changed my heart, which is ironic because I thought it was going to happen in Africa, but it actually happened before. And in Africa, I got to be mentored by some of the people who I deeply respect now. And I was able to learn. And I was just able to spend alone time with the Lord and grow. And now when people ask me about the organization, I like to tell them, hey, it's not a missions organization. It's a discipleship program. They train you over there, and then they send you back here. Which is awesome. That's exactly what we need. And what's crazy is some of the outreach over there has been more powerful than any other mission trip that I've seen that that mission trip's impact has had. And so I would like to tell you a story about that. 1.5 years ago, a small group of 5 or 6 missionaries headed out to a place called Luangwa-Fera. It's right there. It's that red pin on the map. And it's on the border of Lusaka. And this is actually a picture I took with my drone. It's on the border of Zambia, Zimbabwe there on the right, and the Mozambique on the far side. And it's this little town right here, and it's kind of a melting pot, but it's in the middle of nowhere. And there's not really cell service there. And so those 6 missionaries went, and they stayed in a hostel, and they did door-to-door and person-to-person evangelism in the market there. And I don't know if you've ever done door-to-door evangelism, but it's very nerve-wracking, and it forces you to know your faith. If you don't, then you just kind of stutter, and you don't know how, if you don't know how to share the gospel with somebody, you know, then it forces you to challenge your faith. And so a lot of people, you know, have done that in the day-to-day evangelism. But that team was a group of leaders, and so they did evangelism there for a week. And several people got saved. You know, it was relatively successful, but it's hard to gauge the success of those different missions because, you know, all you're doing is talking to people. There's no, hey, we didn't hand out 100 Bibles. You know, we didn't start a church or anything like that. And so I actually had the privilege of going back with a team of 7 to 8 guys, and we went back with the purpose of doing more evangelism in this town. Now, granted, you have to realize that none of these people have cell phones. We have no way of communicating with them. Most of them have never seen a white person before. And so when you walk into these towns, you can just hear, they yell this word, and it means white person. It's Mzungu, Mzungu. And it just echoes like crazy. The second you step off the bus, it's, all the kids come running, you know. And so we... Like I said, it's not a very big town. That's about the up to us. And he's like, hey, hey, come on, come with us, come with us. And so we follow him and guys, and we're like, that's great. You know, it's a tree. And this guy's talking too fast for the guy to get any words out, you know. And so we really don't have any idea what's going on. And it turns out one of our guys who was leading the team was in the back of the bus. And so he wasn't able to make it out and greet the guy who he knew who came and led us to the spot. And so he kind of pushes his way forward. And he's like, oh my gosh, and greets him by name. And it turns out that that man had gotten saved in the marketplace 6 months prior due to the evangelism that they did there. And when he got saved, they gave him a Bible, the only one in Nyanja that they had, okay? And he began to read it. And he started evangelizing, and through his evangelism, more people got saved. And then he found the other people who got saved while our teams were there. And they all kind of read, and they all decided, you know what? We don't have a church. And so they started meeting on Sundays under this tree. And it was a group of, it started out as a group of 2 families, he told us, and it's grown to be a group of 5. And it's been several months since I've been there, you know. So I don't know how big it is now, but I do know that what they were working on and the thing he was so excited to show us was this right here. These are a couple of pictures, but they, as these are the families as well. They're working on building a church, and currently they've, well, at the time, they had made 3,619 bricks, okay, to go for this church. And they had bought 20 roofing sheets. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the economies over there, but buying 20 metal roofing sheets is the equivalent of constructing this entire building, okay, with just 2 of your families, essentially. That's how much money it was. They sold goats, they sold chickens, they sold a ton of stuff. They really did sacrifice just so they could have roofing sheets to put on their church. And we didn't help them at all. We weren't even there. We had no idea that it was going on. And so we came back and they're super excited. You know, they're like, hey guys, welcome back. You know, We want to learn. We want you to come visit. We want you to be a part of our church. And so we were able to do that for the next week. We thought we were going to be evangelizing in the marketplace, but we were able to join a community that was already built because of the work of past missionaries in that area. And that just, it spoke volumes to me about the effectiveness of person-to-person evangelism. And so with that, we've grown, and we started out that last summer, there were 150 people who went on mission with AFM, and this summer, we have upwards of 350. We've actually had to turn people down now because we don't have anywhere for them to sleep. We don't own a building in Zambia or anything like that, and so it's been really hard to find space, especially space that is safe, you know. But it's really cool to just see it grow and see it take off and see the young people that have been over there come home and go to places like Chattanooga, to like Kentucky, to like Virginia, Florida, and all of a sudden you start hearing on the news about all these revivals that are breaking out, which is amazing. I know people in all of those places, and I know that they are praying and they're interceding for that revival. And they're on fire. They really want it. There's a group of young people, a large group, actually, and a group that's growing of young people that really want it. And so these are kind of my pictures, and you can look through these. It's the wrong button. But Africa did change my life. It really did. And it wasn't because of the place, but it was because of the things that I learned and the community that I built that is now pretty much entirely on my phone. I know one person who lives in Atlanta, and he and I see each other every week, and we hang out, and we lament about the fact that we can't visit the rest of what I would call my church. But it's just a great community, and it's all people who are under 25. And so what I'm asking from you, the reason that I'm actually up here, okay, is that these young people are on fire, and they're running the race. I know a lot of them. I know 152 of them from last summer, and hopefully I get to know more this upcoming summer. But they're running, and they're running hard, and they can't do it by themselves. We can't just have young people. We need older people. We need middle-aged people, people who are going to mentor us and people who are going to lead us, and mainly people who are going to pray for us. Because one of the other things that I've been able to have the privilege of is being on the inside and listening to the months and months of prayer that have gone into places like Kentucky and Virginia and Denver and Dallas, Texas, where people have just prayed and prayed and prayed and asked the Lord to move. And so with that, thank you for letting me come share today. And thank you for listening. And thank you for just being a supportive group, somebody who's always, this church has always been here. It's always been someplace that I could go to. I haven't come here in a long time, but I've always known that you guys are here, and I've always known that y'all are faithful. And so I'm super thankful for that, because it is a rock in my life. So thank you. And if you have any questions, I'll be out in the lobby.
Thank you, Tristan, and thank you, Jake, just for sharing your passion for the lost. It really does take a community, and it really does take, in our culture even right now, going one-on-one, talking with people about Christ. And I always have a wingman whenever I share the gospel. I found that I get scared on my own. If I have a wingman with me, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. Our next speaker tonight is Susie Prochaska and one of our elders here at Cornerstone Bible Church, James Kirkwood. Susie's going to come up and speak first. She's going to be sharing about some wonderful missionaries that we actually support here at Cornerstone Bible Church. You may have heard of them before, but their names are Yuris and Dina Petru. The Petrus are serving the Lord with AMG International in Greece. And the Lord called Yuris to step by faith actually into full-time teaching position at the Greek Bible College. In addition, though, as serving as a professor at the Greek Bible College, which in fact is actually the only Bible college in Greece. Not only does he teach, but he is also a preacher and an ordained minister of the Greek Evangelical Church that's there. He's a published author as well. And at the same time, though, while he's doing all that stuff, his wife, Dina, is really in the cutting-edge ministry at the fringes of society, where she spent a few years on the streets, basically, of Athens, in the where the brothels are. She'd go every Wednesday morning, and she would visit people and share the gospel with them, and she realized there was a need there, that there are women who are being sex trafficked that needed escape and need to heal and to be shared the gospel of Jesus Christ and discipled. And so Dina and Eurus founded House Damaris, and it's something that we actually as a church helped them purchase one of the apartment buildings that these young women will stay at after they go through the first phase of the kind of healing process. They'll go on to these apartments where it's safe. A lot of them have kids, and they're able to get a full-time job and be a part of society again. So we're going to show a short video here to begin with from our Eurus and Dina Petru. They're going to share a little bit about what God's doing there and say hi to you. Then Susie, you're going to come up to... Where's Susie, by the way? I keep saying, there we go. Susie's going to come up, and you're going to share a little bit because you went to Greece and you helped one summer there with the House Damaris with Wendy Mutual. And then James Kirkwood's going to get up here and talk because we're sending our youth to Greece this summer. He's going to share a little bit what we're doing here at Cornerstone Bible Church. So let's go ahead and play that video, and then Susie, you can come up there here when we're done with that.
Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, Cornerstone Bible Church, very warm greetings. Happy New Year. It was a great year we had. And we're so thankful for your support and your prayers. We long to see your faces. We have missed you. And we hope to next year to come and visit and see the old friends and the new friends and continue our relationship. And we're so thankful that we have a very blessed year. The boys are doing fine. Mark, with his ministry to the Roma kids as a CEF missionary. He's doing great. Eric, with his chest pump downtown, the Lord is blessing him, and he's doing fine. Both of these guys with their wives. And then Erastos is finishing his studies, and he takes a master class in music synthesis. So they are well, and thank you for your prayers, for our prayer, for our family. And the Bible school also has a little difficult year with fewer students, but praise the Lord, we have enough. And now I teach them how to preach. So I just started in January and I will go up to May. So this is a preaching practicum. They will have a lot of opportunities for them to preach and be evaluated. And also I'm doing my own things. I have two now YouTube channels that I have more than 60,000 viewers, and I praise the Lord for this opportunity that I developed during COVID and lockdown. But now this is the time to hear from Dina.
Hi from Damaris House, and Happy New Year. Last year was a very fruitful year. We had two houses, and we have about 10 girls and 9 children from 3 months to 10 years. Also, God has blessed us with a piece of land to build our house because we pay rent for the other two houses. And we pray and wait what God will give us this year. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your support. And we're looking forward to meet your team
yes.
in the summer.
We're looking forward for young people to come and work with us and serve with us. Come, young boys and girls, come and serve with us and have a great summer. May the Lord bless you all. Greetings.
So as you can see, they are pretty special people. I love the Petrus. I have had the privilege of going to Athens, Greece 3 times now. Wendy and I did go about a year and a half ago, and we spent actually 3 months serving at Community House Damaris with the women and their children there. Previous to that, I went there with Tristan on the trip that Kent took us over there with the youth group. And we also were able to serve at Damaris House and at Petaluda. So the youth group is going to be able to do that again this summer. So basically, we're going to be going in June, but in order to get there, we will need your help. So there will be 2 fundraisers coming up, which I know you've heard about. The first one, which is a potluck. No, it's not a potluck. Don't bring anything. Sorry. Whoops. It is a lasagna lunch, and it will be on March 12th, but there's also going to be a silent auction and a live auction. We had one of those several years ago, too, that Kent orchestrated. It might have been for the Italy trip. I can't remember, but there's lots of good things in the auction, so be sure and do that. Sunday after church, Rhonda Williams and I will be selling tickets for that out front. So be sure and do that. And then in April, we're going to have a car wash and a garage sale too. So James is going to tell you a little bit more about what we're going to be doing.
I'm really challenged by the people that have been up here before me tonight. Right? Really am. A lot of things resonate. It's really good. So thank you for sharing from your hearts. Anyway, I will stick one thing in here, right? So that lady, the candy lady, right? Her husband died this week, right? And you brought to life in her life, because she's probably watching this, right? The significance of that ministry that she carries on, right? In a way that's not very public, not very out front, but it's significant, right? And it's not just her, right? We all have that opportunity to do this. Oh, mercy. I love scripture. But I have found in the last, several years, I think, how I read things and go, really? Was that really in there? How come I've never read that before? Or it just doesn't make sense to me. So let me read to you about a mission trip. Okay, and it comes from Acts chapter 13. It's really the first one they have. It says the church in Antioch, there were people, right? There were prophets and teachers, and he names off these people. And they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. And the Lord said, set apart for me these 2 guys for the work I've called them. And they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and sent them off. Right? And being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and there they sailed to Cyprus, right? So they went on a little Mediterranean cruise. It's great, right? And you think about what happened there, right? And you think about what is happening here, right? That God is bringing people from this body to go on this trip this summer, right? Just like he picked this guy named, I want to call him Barney, I probably shouldn't, but Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, Saul at the time, right? And he sent them off. But you think, wait a minute. How would you like it if we said, let's pick somebody, Brian Grable. Okay, we think you ought to go on a mission trip. So let's all pray for Brian, and he's going to leave tonight. You think that's what happened to those people? Right? What did they have to do? They had to raise the money to do this thing, to at least get them started on the thing. They had to make plans. They had to figure out where they were going to go. Why would you go to Cyprus? Well, it turns out that Barnabas was from Cyprus, right? If you read Acts chapter 4, he's from Cyprus. And then you find out in chapter 11 that the church had people that had gotten over as far as Cyprus and had talked to some people, and then those people had come back, and those people were starting to share the gospel, not just in the Jewish community, but in the Gentile community, the people that weren't Jews, right? They had a connection there. And that's maybe how they figured out they should go to Cyprus, right? We're going to Greece not because of the architecture and the hot weather and all those things, right? We have a connection there to people. And God has put together a group of people to go this summer. And we're going to have to support them to do that. Right? And a key part of that, right? What did they do? It didn't say, and they took up a big collection for them. It says they fasted and prayed for them. Right? If you do nothing beyond this, right? Commit yourselves now to be praying for this trip that's happening in June. Right? That people's lives, our lives, the lives of the people there will be impacted. And by the way, there was another person that ended up along with them. Who was that? John Mark. Right? How old was he? He was probably teenage years, maybe. He probably wasn't an old guy. And it didn't go well for him. Right? And you know what? You read further, you find Paul going, send him over here to me. He's a really good guy. I need him. Right? We're going to Greece because we feel like God's directing us to go there. I feel like he's putting together the team to do that. It's an opportunity to go serve. We'll show you a video in just a second of the people group. One of the people groups we're going to serve with, the Roma people. Our years mentioned them, right? These people are just, I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like the gypsies from the movies, right? In that they're just a very unstructured society. The kids don't often go to school, right? And they just are kind of the lowest class of that society. And God loves dealing with those folks. So we're going to watch a video for that. I'll give you another couple ideas in terms of support. But again, if of all the things that I would have you do, right, if you will pray for us, right, that's the most significant. Okay, FJ, would you play the video?
I'm really excited to introduce you to Petaluda Education Centre. It's a ministry of Hellenic Ministries, and it came about because we saw the needs in our local Roma community, and we just got to see that many of the children there didn't know how to read and write, and our hearts just went out to them, and just their need for love and attention and just to know that they're special. And so we just as a team sort of got together with them and started to help them read and write, started to help them just to learn how to hold a pencil and how to just start drawing the lines. And we just got excited because we saw that a hunger for learning really spread throughout the community. Many of them were wanting to learn. Many of the adults were coming and saying they also wanted to learn. And we had to break for a little while because we thought it's not really effective in the courtyard we were meeting in. So we started to look around for a new building, which is what we're excited about today. But in the process of us pausing, we saw that many of the children we'd been helping started to go to the local Greek government school, which was really our goal because we saw that then they were actually going and wanting to continue with their education. So we saw it a little bit of success coming. So then we excitedly found our new venue, which is what we're going to share about today. Petaluda means butterfly in Greek. Why did we choose this name? Firstly, because it's a symbol of transformation, and this is our main goal with the Roma community that we are working with. It's that they can, this community can be transformed from the inside out. And how are we going to accomplish this? Not by our own strength, but we are offering an opportunity to this community to be part of a bigger picture. As you might know, illiteracy, it's a big challenge for the Roma people. Most of them, they don't know how to write, they don't know how to read, and that becomes a struggle to interact with the dominant society. And we are, in our center, we are offering a range of activities from learning how to read and how to write with classes, extracurricular activities like art therapy. Our goal is to work with the whole community, and now is the beginning, and we have plans for the future. Our desire is to see this community growing, being a huge influence into our society, and be the change in themselves that they would like to see in the world. Some of the difficulties that we are facing with this community that we are working with is substance misuse, difficult behavior, sex exploitation, mental health issues. And these difficulties are transferred and redirected by the members of the community into the facility that we are working with. But hopefully, this center will be a way of helping them to overcome these difficulties and be a safe environment so they can be in contact with health relationships that we can be a living testimony to their lives.
So that's one of the groups we're going to minister to. Let me give you a couple of ways, if you're interested in helping and support us from a financial standpoint. If you notice the back of my shirt, these are our trip shirts. We're going to sell these on two or three times. We're actually going to sell them Sunday, be our first shot. So if you want a shirt to support the team, you're welcome to do it. It's a fundraiser. They're way overpriced. but that's okay. You know about the auction, you know about the car wash. We're also going to have, and this isn't quite set up yet, but we're going to have the ability for students to come and offer to do work at your houses or wherever you want. And so we're going to get that set up with the office. Don't call them yet. But that's a way not only for them to raise money, but to build relationships with you. Right, and you to build relationships within that. This element of community just resonates, doesn't it? Okay, that's all I've got for the fundraiser stuff. Again, if you would pray for us, boy, that'd be awesome. Did you hear what she said? Right, that word that isn't an R word, right, but the idea of transformation. Right? The caterpillar to the butterfly, the metamorphosis, right? That's what God wants to be doing in our lives. Right? May he do so. Thank you.
Wait for the pianist to come up here to give us accompaniment. Got her glasses on. She can see the music now. Everything's right. I'm going to ask you to stand for our closing hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. tonight. We look forward to tomorrow. Remember that the we're going to be having a meal at 5:30, then the greet at 6:30, and we will start again at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Please go home. Be careful. It's kind of wet out there. And all of God's people said, amen.